Good morning. Please be seated. My name is Diane Clausen, and I'm the duty elder today. I'd like to welcome everyone to this very special 10th anniversary service at our Burlington East Presbyterian Church. I've read through the bulletin, and you could just read the announcements there. There's one thing that I would like to extend a sincere welcome to Reverend John and Jackie Cruikshank. Reverend John was here in February of 2007, and he was here when we joined together, and look at how we've come along. He was here till the middle, I believe the middle of 2010. And Jackie and John now live in the Sarnia area. One thing I will always remember is the fruitcake and the coleslaw. I do remember those things. Anyway, I again wish to welcome you all, and remember the gala this afternoon starts at 4 o'clock. Thank you. 4:30.
Let's just take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. We light the Christ candle this morning as a reminder of Christ's presence as we worship together. Celebrate this, our 10th anniversary here at Burlington East. Christ is here, we worship together. Let's join together now in our first hymn this morning, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, number 65. Every Sunday we come together at a moment such as this to consider the week that has been, the times in which we have stepped away from that path that God calls us to, the things that we may have said or left unsaid that God asked us about. As we come before God now, we come before the throne of God and the mercy seat, if you like, with all of our humanity, who we are. We are honest with God at this moment, and we are open to the peace that is promised that of forgiveness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, you set before us every day a bounty of great and wonderful things. You bring us to your feasting table. We are hungry for your word. We are eager to rebuild the cities that you have made, Lord, and ready to receive strangers so that we may celebrate this time, a time of peace that you bring, Lord, a peace that is truly from the love that you have for us, a love everlasting. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you invite us to this peaceful land and this peaceful existence, and we choose so many times not to come. You beg us, Lord, to give thanks for life, and we fail often in our thanksgiving. You've made for us this wonderful earth, and we often neglect that wonderful gift. Lord, forgive us for what we have done and for abandoning the pathway that you desire for us. Lord, please continue to be our guide and our conscience. Turn our feet and our hands to your will, that we might do and live to your glory always, Lord. Now, Lord, we come before you with the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, the God of peace, who calls all creation to live in unity, hears our plea and our confession. In the spirit of feasting and thanksgiving and peace and mercy, and in the mercy of the Almighty God, we are truly forgiven. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died and rose from the dead to destroy the shroud of despair, we can rejoice and live in peace. Amen. Lovely to have our choir back. Thank you so much for that blessing, choir. Let us join together now in our children's hymn, number 375. And during the third verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. 375, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
today's a special Sunday. Do you know why? What's it say up there? Yes, Alex, do you know? Yeah, well, that's part of it. That's a good idea. What does it say up on the... It's the 10th anniversary. That's right. That's what it says up there. It's our 10th anniversary today. Well, not exactly today. It's kind of our second time or third time almost we're having an anniversary celebration. But this is a very special Sunday because we're doing something very special. What do you do often on special days, such as anniversaries, and there's a word that starts with a B. What's the word? Do you know the word? Something you get once a year. Well, party might be part of it. It is part of what we're going to do. Something that starts with B happens once a year. Yeah, there you go. Birthdays, that's right. So it's our anniversary. It's kind of a birthday for this church in so many ways. And what number is it up on the back there? Yes, Madeline? Yep, and which number is the anniversary itself? 10th, that's right. And I've got some printout here of a birthday cake that says 10 years. It's the 10th anniversary. And we're happy when we have a birthday, aren't we? Why? Come on, it's an easy one. What happens on your birthday, Alex? What do you get on your birthday? Cake and presents, yes. You get cake and presents. And we're going to be doing some of those kinds of things at our 10th anniversary. You know, the Bible tells us something very special. It says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Well, rejoice is all about being happy and joyful. And we're happy and joyful today because it's the 10th anniversary of our church. Isn't that wonderful? Let's have an applause for that. Happy 10th anniversary, Burlington East. Are you guys excited? Yeah, I'm sure you are. If it was your anniversary and you were getting a cake, I bet you'd be excited, wouldn't you? Well, we're pretty excited today about having our 10th anniversary because God has blessed us so much and we're very happy and very joyful today. Can we gather together for a little word of prayer? Come on, folks. Getting right in there. We'll all hold hands. That's it. You good getting there, Alex? Good. Okay, I'm going to say a prayer and you can repeat after me and you can follow along, folks. Dear Jesus, thank you for our 10th anniversary. We rejoice now and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. Have a good time in Sunday school this morning. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, let's just take a moment and bow our heads in prayer and invite the Spirit to open our hearts and minds. Let us pray. Your word, O God, is truly a spiritual feast all on its own. We pray that you let your Holy Spirit open our minds to your call to listen, for we know your holy word heals, reconciles, and brings peace to your people. In Christ's name, amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 84. You'll find that in your psalters, in your pews. A wonderful psalm of praise and thanks to God. Praise and thanks reflecting very much what we are seeing today in our celebration of our anniversary. Psalm 84.
Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs to hear your names, O Lord of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing your joy, Lord.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my sovereign and my God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Behold our shield, O God. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, bestowing favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed are those who trust in you.
Thank you, Stuart. I'll call on our guest this morning, Reverend John Cruikshank, to read the next two lessons for us.
Just before I begin, just a private word. I commend you on this, your 10th anniversary. I recall my very first service here. I met a lady standing in the aisle, third row from the back, Pat Patterson, a delightful soul, Irish widow. She could hardly hear. By this time, Pat was in her, well into her 80s. And she said to me, "Reverend Cruikshank, I don't know why I'm here." And then before I had a chance to say anything, she said to me, "I guess I've just come to see what's going to happen." Well, a lot happened. A lot of wonderful things have happened here for Christ in those 10 years. Not the least worship, but then all the other things that have been done, not only as a congregation, but through you individually, as you touch the hurts of the community, as we do wonderful things for Christ's sake. A lot aren't here now. 10 years have thinned that original group out. And yet I'm delighted to sit here to see faces of folk I do not know. I find that a good sign. And it really is a privilege to be here on this Lord's Day. And again, I commend you on this, your anniversary. Returning now to the Word of God. Turning to the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Jeremiah. He's a fellow not many of us would want to meet. When you read this lesson, he rather sounds like a terrorist of our time, calling for ill upon other people, calling on others to suffer. Jeremiah was a great prophet of judgment. I'm asking you now to hear God's word from the 18th chapter, reading from the 18th verse. "Then they said to me, 'Come, let us make plots against Jeremiah, for instruction shall not perish from the priests, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us bring charges against him, and let us not heed any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and listen to what my adversaries say. Is evil a recompense for good? Yet they've dug a pit for my life. Remember how I stood before you to speak good for them, to turn away your wrath from them? Therefore, give their children over to famine, hurl them out to the power of the sword. Let their wives become childless and widowed. May their men meet death by pestilence. Their youth be slain by the sword. May a cry be heard from their houses when you bring the marauder suddenly upon them. For they have dug a pit to catch me and laid snares for my feet. Yet you, O Lord, know all their plotting to kill me. Do not forgive their iniquity. Do not blot out their sin from your sight. Let them be tripped up before you. Deal with them while you are angry. May our Father's blessing rest on the reading of that Old Testament, the words of the prophet Jeremiah. I'm sure as you folk were looking at me, if you didn't know me, you obviously realize I belong to an old school, a school that is indeed past, and I know that. But I want to give you a dose of the authorized version as I read now the New Testament lesson, St. Matthew's Gospel, 25th chapter, the 11th chapter, the 25th verse, just a very few words from Jesus. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed right in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom whoever the Son will be revealed him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take thy yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May God's blessing rest now on these readings of his word, whose name be the honor, the glory, praise, world without end. Amen. Our next hymn you will find printed as an insert in the bulletin. It's the hymn Trust and Obey. But I caution you as we start singing it, Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, saith the Lord. I say that in the context, there's another verse hidden on the next page. Don't miss it. The hymn, Trust and Obey. I would ask you now to pray with me. Heavenly Father, still us now as we seek the presence of Thy Spirit to open our hearts to truth. Let those scales slip from our eyes as we behold the wonders of Thy way. Now, mighty God, in the voice that I might speak, and in the thoughts that I might cast over these folk, let the Spirit work. And let that still, small voice of Christ speak unto His people. For I ask that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, the years do bring change. It was about 4 years ago that Jackie and I relocated to Corunna near Sarnia. We had two married daughters there, and it had come time to be near our family. And in those years, up to 2 Sundays a month, which is my limit, I will go and I will help with a Presbyterian church. Minister might be ill, he could be on holiday, could be on study leave, but I'll be there. And as I got to know these people again and visit amongst them, I grow so concerned. Because there is in them not just about the church, but there's a restlessness. There's an unease amongst our people. There is not that quietness of heart. There doesn't seem to be that peace of Christ that the world can't take away, but appears to have taken away. The words are clear. You and I were the part of the second generation to live in a pressure cooker of information. No one else has gone through what we're going through. No one else has opened their souls to the world as it is around. I find it disquieting. Here it is before the gun has gone silent and the dead fallen. It's on our television, Las Vegas. We see it all there in our homes. I find it disquieting. Turn the television on and there's California burning up. An unknown number dead. Thousands of homes destroyed. People fleeing. I find it very disquieting. And then they come. These winds out of the coast of Africa. And we watch as they sweep across the Atlantic. Then they do their damage on Houston. A meter of rain, a meter, fell in our living room. As we saw it all, it came again, sweeping across Florida. It came again, sweeping across Puerto Rico. It blew an island away that I didn't know existed, Barbuda, until it was gone. But it blew it away. I find it disquieting. I look at the paper. The Star yesterday. I don't know still why anybody reads the Star, but it was in the Star yesterday. This crazy man from North Korea seemingly want to destroy us. And all that for which we stand, and I find it disquieting. And there in Washington, the jury is still out. But a very man, very uneasy. I find it disquieting. I read of the whales dying in our oceans. If you remember anything about me, you may remember I love to garden. I watched this summer them come. These monarch butterflies, all in their orange glory, on their way to Mexico, but probably flying into oblivion. I work in my garden, and I behold the flowers, the lily of the field. You used to also see bees. I saw two. Two honeybees all summer. I find it very disquieting. The forest fires of BC, the renegotiation of NAFTA, which is going to affect economies and hurt a lot of people, I find it disquieting. So here it all is. This pressure cooker of information coming upon us. Where is the peace that passes understanding in this kind of a world? But it doesn't stop there. It goes on, it comes closer. We have new gadgets. I have one. I only have it because my daughters make me carry it. Only my wife knows I never turn it on. This one I've had since January. You see, I refuse to listen to what is going on of gossip in other people's lives. I find it disquieting. And you see, here is all of this before it comes to us and our families. And here we are, we're struggling with old age. We struggle with illness. We struggle with economic issues. We worry about our children and our grandchildren. And all of this eats away at the peace which passes all understanding. No. I want you to come with me back to the Bible. And I want you to find it again in the only way that you can find it. Psalm 55 was written 3,500 years ago, a psalm of David. It was written for us. Listen, O God, to my pleading. Hear me and answer me. For my cares give me no peace. My heart is torn in anguish. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. There it is. There I stand. The modern, frightened soul, troubled, fussing, worrying, in this kind of a world. The writer goes to his wit's end and he cries out, I've seen trouble and strife in the city. It's filled with mischief and trouble, alive with rumor and scandal. There's our world. There's your world. The typical problems, scandal in high places, fear to walk the streets, the feeling that everything is getting worse, everything is downhill. But then this magnificent verse. The psalmist says, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove to fly away. I shall escape far away, find a refuge in the wilderness." That's the first way we try for the peace. We try to get away from everything. I don't know whether you ever did it, but I did when I was about 4. Life hit a bump. I took a notion it was time to run away. So I ran away. I got probably to the next door and I thought, I've taught them enough of a lesson, now I'll go back home. You can't run. We don't have the wings of a dove. We can't fly and run away. There are things we can do. We can have a little bit of a rest. We might find that holiday week to get away somewhere and have some time. I've never felt guilty about that. I've never felt guilty about trying to find a little bit of time. You shouldn't either. It can be therapeutic to get away. David wanted to get away. King David tried to get away. Jeremiah the prophet did. You heard the lesson. He couldn't stand his people. He couldn't stand them. What they were doing, the kind of people they were, and Jeremiah cries out, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them." He wanted to run. Get away from them. That impulse, it's normal. In our lives, it is not dishonorable. And never feel guilty. The truth of it is, all of us need some way to get away from it somehow. And the ways differ. It may be a quiet evening with a book. It may be, as my wife and I have found at this stage, our joy is to drive to the river and sit and watch that blue water of the St. Clair flow to the sea. We do it almost every day. We get away from things. You see, this is the purpose of a holiday. To walk away, to find something different, to feel something different. You see, Jesus tried to do that. At one time in the experience of Christ, he knew the disciples were tired. And Jesus says, "Come," he says, "let's find a quiet place and rest a while." The problem was, the quiet place they found, 5,000 others had found it before him. So by the time Jesus arrived, here is this mass of people waiting to hear from him, to work his work, to preach to him the words of life. You see, if we don't do these things, we may not find the peace of Christ. But then we try other ways, dangerous ways. We turn to our tranquility. We see not just our young people turning to their illicit drugs to escape the world as they know it, because they're not satisfied with it, or they're hurt by it, or they're afraid of it. And very often we know the consequences. I know that of which I speak. It happened in my family. To try to escape is beneficial as far as it can go. There was a wonderful book once time written by a Dr. Bornell called Escape from Life. And he told a story of, could be any one of our grandchildren, going off to university. A young lady went off and it didn't work out for her. She ended up having a nervous breakdown. She ended up quitting. After a lot of counseling, she got the story right. It went this way. I went to university. I had to quit. So I had a nervous breakdown. That is the truth of it. That is the sequence. So here we are. We can make ourselves sick. Suicide is the ultimate expression of this trying to get away from it all. We can't take anymore. And then we do it. The psalmist, unable to escape, he tries the second approach. He calls on God to take revenge on the enemy. Take revenge on those who hate me. Listen to his words. Destroy their places, O Lord. Confuse their tongues. Let death come upon them. They must go down to hell alive. Let them go in terror to their graves. The sum and substance of his request is, I want them not only to go to hell, I want you to send them there. Get them out of my life. Get these problems, sweep them away. I think there comes a time when we do want God to get people out of our lives. They bother us. Some bring us no peace. It doesn't work. We cannot live in isolation one to another. The Christian faith is a communal faith. We work amongst people. All different kinds of people. We're restless, not because of others. We're restless because of ourselves. Where is that peace which passes all understanding? Ah, now the third way. To find that tranquility or that peace that the world can't give is in these words of the prophet. But I call upon God, and the Lord will deliver my soul in peace. The words of Jesus. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, He will sustain thee. You see, tranquility is found not by running away, not by wishing ill on others. It's found in Christ. It's found by doing what that hymn calls us to do, to trust and obey. Much, dear friends, of what troubles us is controllable. And I think you have an obligation, and I have an obligation, if it bothers me, to control it. You see, the power is right here in this old thumb. It hits a little button. And it shuts it off. Shut it off. Turn some of the world away. You don't need to bear all the burdens about which you can do nothing. Turn it off. If it works against your peace, turn it off. Turn back to trust in the Lord. If you remember nothing of this sermon, I want you to remember this as I close. It was years ago. Jackie and I had our four little kids, and we went to Niagara Falls. We stood watching this great torrent of water come over that cliff. Beautiful. But as we were standing, I saw something. There on the cliffs, as you know, their scrub brush grows out. And there, but a few feet away, hanging over the gorge, there is a branch. In the branch, there was a nest. In the nest, there were three robins. And I watched as the old one came and went, tending her own, oblivious to the chaos around her. There is the peace of Christ. He is that nest that holds us. You have to trust and obey. Then you find the peace which passes all understanding. And the world doesn't change. Indeed, it may get worse. Those who bother us don't change. Indeed, they may get worse. But we've got it. We've got it. The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. I close with these words. That's what this church is about. That's what you're about. Proclaiming Christ as the answer to the world swirling around us. Christ, Lord and Savior, Father, bathe us in your love, cradle us in your mercy unto life. Through Christ our Lord, amen, and let us pray. Father, what a privilege it is for each of us to have been given a gift of life. Thou knowest our circumstances. We're all different. We've all faced different challenges and different burdens. We all have different memories. But we have one thing in common. If we trust and obey, and that is we have the peace of Christ. And we are safe. Lord, I remember the words of Scripture, of Jesus. Those whom the Father has given me are in my hand, and no one can snatch them away. Keep us safe. And might we enjoy the peace of Christ, which passeth all understanding, which the world can't give, nor can it take away. Praying in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you and blessings, John. What a lovely message this morning. Let us come before God now with our tithes and offerings, and we can thank God for all that He has blessed us with. Overflowing joy, and this be used for the sake of others. Amen. God of compassion and generous love, we thank you for the riches of this earth, which sustains our lives and which you have created for our joy. We thank you for Jesus, whose life, death, resurrection, and ascension renews our strength and revives our hope. And we give you thanks for the Holy Spirit, who keeps us truly in our faith and gives us that peace we need. Bless these gifts, Lord, for the sake of those in need and for the work of your church here on this earth. In peace and in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Once again, John, thank you for that message this morning, a message of encouragement, a message that we truly need in the world in which we live. As we do from week to week, we take this time to be praying for those in our lives and those who we know of and around the world and issues that are at hand. We will take a moment during this prayer time for you to say a name that does need prayer. Just the first name is all we need. We can center our hearts and minds around that name and take it to God in prayer. Let us bow our heads now. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, this challenge, and this responsibility that you give us from week to week, from Sunday to Sunday, to come before you as your people. And come before you, Lord, with the things that have been moving in our lives. The people, really, Lord, is what it is. Each one of us knows someone who is in need, someone who needs your intervention, someone who truly needs your peace renewed in their life, whether that be a physical need, spiritual need, an emotional need. We trust you, Lord, that you see and hear all of these things and that you truly do act out of love. Lord, we take a moment now and offer these names to you. Lord, thank you for these names that have been offered in faith. Thank you for these names that have been offered up to you, Lord, for your intervention in love. Lord, we don't know the situation around each one of these names, but we know that there is something of great need. We trust you, Lord, to intervene. We trust you, Lord, that your everlasting love will heal. Into your hands, Lord, we place all of this, trusting that you know and see these needs through Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
I did ask for the courtesy of just letting me introduce the last hymn. You may wonder why the hymn, "The Church is One Foundation," which is in our book of praise, would be printed in the bulletin. I did so because the Church is One Foundation, as it was written, referred to the church as the bride of Christ, clothed in holiness, doing the work of the Master. And when the hymn was put into this book of praise, the bride was shown the door. The hymn was rewritten. And it took an entirely different direction. But I wanted you on anniversary to think of yourselves in that concept. We're part of the bride of Christ. To be clothed in holiness unto good works for him. Our closing hymn is printed.
Brothers and sisters, beloved by God who has chosen you, the gospel has come to you not only in word, but in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. Go now in joy and in peace. Be an example to all, empowered to love the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable, to bring peace to those who cannot find peace, in the grace-filled name of Jesus Christ. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always, now and forever. Amen.